Hello and welcome to this edition of Business Spotlight. I'm Reza Kuduz from Action Coach, and I'm thrilled to be joined today by a special guest, Bruno Kambar. Bruno, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation, Reza.
Bruno represents a company called Zeitgeist, and which is a translation service for tech companies. Bruno, tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. My name is Bruno Kambar. I am the founder and managing director of Zeitgeist. We are a marketing, translation, and transcreation company agency specializing in the tech industry. So what is it in plain English? So basically, you take a big tech company, usually based in the Silicon Valley. They produce content for their new products, for events, for the marketing in general in English and for the US market. We take that content and we localize it for the EMEA, the Latin American, and the APAC markets. In terms of formats, it can be very varied for their campaigns. We can do very short content, such as social media, banner advertising, emails, to longer assets, thought leadership assets, such as ebooks, reports, white papers, PowerPoint presentation. We do text, we do video, we do audio. So basically quite a varied sort of campaign materials.
Well, yeah, quite a wide range of things that you do there. And of course, you've been going for a few years.
Yes.
And obviously the company's grown over this period of time. What do you attribute growth to?
Well, yeah. I would attribute our growth to various factors, obviously, but if I had to take one or two, I would say, first of all, a relentless focus on quality. And quality without compromise. And sometimes maybe it's been at the expense of maybe short-term revenue, because we have turned down campaigns in the past where we thought we couldn't deliver the quality that our clients expected within the time frame. But I think it's served us in the long term because we've never put our name on a bad campaign. And we've got that sort of long-term relationship with our clients. Some of them we've been working with since, for about 15 years. And we've been through their mergers and acquisitions, and we've supported their growth as well. And I think that's what matters, is that long-term relationship with our clients. The fact that we've grown almost through word of mouth only, so we've hardly done any marketing. And I sometimes joke even that our best salespeople are our clients. So why get salespeople? So I think that's it's really made our growth more robust from that perspective.
Yeah.
If I had to take another really decisive factor in our growth, I would say that area of specialization as well, that area of expertise, because we're not a jack of all trades. We do tech marketing, we do marketing translations for the tech industry, and we do that very well. And we've built that excellence over the years. When a new client comes to us, they know that we will hit the ground running, and that's a big relief for them. So I think that's also that the fact that we've not branched out to too many areas and also diluted our expertise, I think, has been a great contributor to our growth.
Yeah, so staying focused on your target market and what you do best and not compromising on quality and making sure that you can deliver.
Totally.
That is not absolutely. I can definitely see that. And I guess, you know, looking back, we would, you know, as entrepreneurs, we would always possibly change things in our journey. Would you do things any differently? Are there any specific things that you can pick out that you might do differently from when you start?
Well, there's so many things that I would do differently. If I had to choose just one, I would say probably delegate more and delegate more and sooner. And it's a problem that a lot of founders have. You know, it's your baby. It's very hard to let go. You think you know your business and your industry better than anybody else, and you want to do everything, but it's very counterproductive. And once you sort of get past that barrier and you start to delegate, you realize that Once you find the right people, you empower them. They usually do the job just as well as you do, or very often better than you do. Yeah. And that's really like sort of that again, that can unlock growth, and certainly done a lot for my sanity as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, other than the fact that you're a bottleneck if you don't, right? And you can only grow to a certain level.
Exactly.
I think that's very good advice and very good share. Obviously, you've experienced that firsthand. Have there been any other learnings, along the way as an employer, perhaps, rather than just a business owner? Yeah.
Yes, I think as an employer, and that's something that we've experienced in the last few years as well. I think that culture trumps skills, and it's perhaps we haven't really put enough attention in the past on the cultural element, on the soft skills element of candidates, and that's something we do a lot more nowadays. And we find that since we've put more focus, we've been putting more focus on cultural fit, we've not only become a better company, or a collaborative company, but also, and it's not the only factor, but I think it's a decisive factor in the fact that our retention rate has grown as well. So that's one thing I would think that we learned, and I learned personally. The other thing maybe is the value of trust and empowerment as well. You know, once you, and it's something that's been very important with COVID and our transition to hybrid work and remote work. You have to trust people. You have to trust that they will deliver. You have to empower them. We've never been a big brother company with timesheets and tracking people and tracking productivity. We've never really done that because the proof is in the pudding anyway. But we're even more empowering people now through hybrid working and more remote work. And again, you know, it's worked really well for us because people feel more motivated. The fact that you trust them to deliver the job, they usually over deliver as a result.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And so I was going to ask you about kind of quality. You touched upon the employee and the culture side. What kind of qualities specifically do you look for in employees when you're recruiting? Obviously the cultural fit, but what specific?
There's the obvious. Obviously, you want people to be honest. You want them to be hardworking. You want them to be good team workers, team players. But there's probably an overarching quality that we look for, which is empathy, and people to be able to put themselves in the shoes of the person they're talking to. And that's for our linguists, our translators. We want to be empathetic because we want them to feel, to put themselves in the shoes of the target audience and create content that will resonate with them. But it's also very, very important for our project managers, to understand that what our clients, the pressures that our clients are under. They often have to create great content under very high time pressure, and also understand the pressures that we put our own linguists under as well to produce that great content under time pressure. So it's to see the both sides of the equations, and it requires a lot of empathy from the part of our project managers. So I would say that it's the one sort of quality that we look for, apart from the obvious.
Yeah, sure. And do you do anything with your team to make sure that you have this positive and productive environment? Of course, you mentioned things like not watching over them, given empowering them. Is there anything else that you haven't mentioned, perhaps, that you work with a team on that?
Well, we do, like a lot of companies, where we've got our regular team meetings, and we organize a get together twice a year because we've got a lot of our employees are working 100% remote. We've got one in Ireland, another one in France, others across the UK. So we try and organize this sort of get together annually. One is usually around the Christmas time, and we've just done our summer one as well. And we find them extremely productive. During COVID, we would organize quizzes and stuff, like to really keep that together. But again, you know, it starts at the source as well, in finding people who are very much in that frame of mind, in sort of that sort of collaborative approach, who think more, perhaps more about the collaboration and what the company can do if when everybody pulls together, rather than just looking at their own personal ambitions. So it's a bit of both, really. I listened to a podcast about Satya Nadella, the CEO of Microsoft, very recently, and how he changed the culture. You know, when he joined, it was a fairly hostile culture with a lot of internal competition, and but a very toxic one, not a productive one. And he's changed it around those values of collaboration and empathy, and that certainly resonated with me.
Yeah, absolutely. I can see that there's a lot of focus, obviously, for you to create and foster that, and obviously is bearing fruit now. So on a personal level, one of the things we find with entrepreneurs is that they put a lot of their time into their business, and that obviously has an impact on their personal life. What's your tip? How do you kind of balance your work and life and make sure that you've got enough attention on both?
Yeah. Well, COVID has been a big game changer for us. And for me personally, you know, with that transition to more remote working, to hybrid working, I spend more time at home, which means that, like today, I'm from my home office. And that means that I can spend more time with my family. I used to spend an hour and a half or 2 hours in the car every day, going to the office and back, and that time that I can use by spending more time with my family and having dinner together, and being able to catch up. I'm an avid runner as well, so I go for runs almost every morning. And it's done a lot for me as well, for my not just my physical health but also my mental health. And it's just amazing how many answers to your questions you find on a run. So yeah, it's given me a much better life balance. And if you'd asked me the question before COVID, I would probably have asked you, what's life balance? So, well, what is that? I don't know the concept. But now I can really say, yes, I've got a much better work-life balance.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. There's always a kind of silver lining, obviously, some of the questions that happen to us. And I guess you touched on some of the other kind of personal attributes and things that you do to stay successful, the habits that you have, and, you know, going for a run, kind of that clears your mind and keeps you focused. So I guess my final question was going to be around what your plans for the futures are, whether you see yourself in a business in the next 3-5 years and beyond.
Yeah. Well, it depends what AI lets us do, and if they're going to throw a spanner in our works as well. And I think the AI is very much the elephant in the room for the translation industry in general. And it's a question that we're being asked by people outside the industry. You know, can see Google Translate and these sort of things and think, well, why do they need you? But I think we will still be very relevant in 3 to 5 years' time, because we are a bit different. We do marketing and translation and transcreation. So we translate ideas. We don't really translate words. And from that perspective, I think AI has got a lot of catch up to do. Thankfully, the human brain is still way ahead of that. So for what we do, at least, I think we will be very, very relevant. We want to stay on the path to growth. As I said earlier, you know, we've been supporting our clients in their own growth, and we want to do that. We want to. We're lucky that the tech industry is usually a growth industry. It's sort of stalling a little at the moment, but in general, you know, when you look over the long term, it's a growth industry. So it's great to support our clients' growth. So we hope that we'll keep growing with them. We'd like to branch out to maybe neighboring sectors as well, electric vehicles, which are big pieces of technology these days. And we already work for an EV manufacturer, and it's probably not the one that you're thinking about. And we'd like to do more with them and more in that field, and probably in the field of green tech in general. I know that internally our team is very keen to work on in that sector. We work for a client who does a lot in green IT, and we do a lot of contents for them around that, and we'd like to do more about that. that is certainly growth with purpose working in that field. So yes, that's the perspective for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously I would wish you success, not just in your core business, but, you know, branching out in those exciting new areas of green tech and, you know, kind of getting the business to the next level. I really appreciate your time today. I really enjoyed our conversation. There was a lot of golden nuggets for all the listeners. And I certainly learned a thing or two as well about your industry. It was a pleasure having you on the show and pleasure meeting you.
Pleasure was all mine, Reza. Thank you for having me today.
Thank you, Bruno.